Father, it is such a joy to come to you, to your throne, expecting that you will speak to us because you never fail us. You speak to us through your unfailing, perfect word. Father, again, let your Holy Spirit anoint our heart, anoint our spiritual ears to hear from you. We have that expectancy. Teach us how to study your word that we may learn from you, not from man. We pray this in Jesus' name. All right. 5 W's and 1 H. First one, what is the first one? Who, right? Okay, tell me. This session, you guys are going to talk back. Okay? So who are the characters in the book of Jonah? Jonah. And who else? Slow down. I cannot catch up with you. Whale, God, and sailors, king, people of Nineveh. Okay, good. Good observation. Next one is what? Okay? Next one is what? What do you see here? I purposely left a blank so you guys can fill it out. Okay, when you did the observation, what did you find? What? Fear? Running away? Many? Make it brief. I have to say it because otherwise he can go on for 2 hours. Okay? Who else? That's good. Who else? Excellent. I see three things. Disobedience of the supposedly godly prophet, right? And obedience of the ungodly ship crew and the ungodly people of Nineveh. Am I right so far?
Yep.
And then omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign God, just like Bill said, slow to anger and full of loving kindness. Did that cover everybody?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Where? Fish. Oh, is that the only place that Jonah stayed? Joppa? Then where? Come on, slow down. The Joppa, and then what? He got on the boat. He got on the ship. He didn't get to the Tarshish. And on the way there, in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, we don't know how far he went into the Mediterranean Sea, and that's the way he stopped. He was a stop. And then where else? And the shore for, okay. And then where? We said the shore, okay. Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. Write it down. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. All right. When? This is a difficult one. So I'm going to give you a hint. Jonah was a real person and a Jewish prophet from Gath Hefer. In Zebulun, which is the one of the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he ministered in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam II. How do we know? There's a cross reference book. 2 Kings chapter 14, 25. So keep your finger in Jonah and go to 2 Kings. Huh? 2 Kings 14, 25. 1425, and Jeroboam II is reigning in Israel, northern kingdom. He, Jeroboam, restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of the Hamath to the sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he had spoken through his servant, who? Jonah, the son of Amittai, and the prophet who was from Gath Hefer. Okay. You know, a lot of people say the book of Jonah is a fairy tale in the Bible, biggest fairy tale. And some people say the book of Jonah is Achilles' heel of the Bible. Achilles' heel. It's the weakest link. Is it? Because, okay, let me put it this way. Just because a person cannot understand what God does, that doesn't mean it's not true, is it? Am I correct? Okay, Some people have IQ of 176, like Einstein. And some people have barely reaching 100. And some people are very smart, or some people are not smart. Like Stephen Hawking has a very high IQ, and he cannot fathom that there is somebody who is smarter than him. So he denied the presence of God until death. And he said that there is no God, and guess what he says now? Yeah, but he's in, most likely in hell, and he's admitting that there is a God. Yeah. All right, next one, final W, what is that? Why? All right, why? Why the book of Jonah? Come on, talk back. God's compassionate perspective, and? Okay. Repentance of who? I was waiting for that. It's not about, book of Jonah is not just about the Jonah. Quarter of a million people. Actually, some people said, some scholars said that 500,000 people were in that city. Because according to chapter 4, 125,000 and 120,000 who do not know from right to left. Right hand to left hand. Some people would say they are the little ones. Or they are the one who don't know good and bad. They are the man. Because during the Old Testament time, unfortunately, women are not counted in the census. Did you know that? Yeah, women are not counted as a part of the census. So if that's the case, 120,000 men, that means that including the rest of the family, close to 500,000 people. They all got saved. God, to God, that's very important. So the Lord, in His great mercy and loving kindness, chose to give one more chance for the people of Nineveh to repent through who? Jonah, the disobedient one. At the same time, He was giving this disobedient man an unforgettable lesson that he'll never forget. Agree? All right. How? Now we have one H. How? This is where I did the outlining. You guys did the outlining? Alright. Let me hear your outlining. Somebody raise your hand and somebody raise your hand and stand up and do the outlining for me. Yeah? Okay. That's a storm. Yes. He's the storm, but I'm asking you to outline the entire book. Anyone did the outlining? So speak a little louder for other people's sake. God's word. Okay. Then, you think? Prideful. Okay. You mean the Israelis. Okay. Good possibility. Good possibility. Okay. What else? You guys are making a pretty good outline. Come on. A little more. Go a little more. Say Elizabeth got saved. And Jonah was a saved beginning. You mean Jonah got saved from the by the fish? Yeah. Okay. And then? People of Nineveh got saved. Israel didn't get saved. Oh, you mean they didn't get invaded. Okay. I get that. Alright. And then after people of Nineveh got saved, then what? Chapter 4. Come on. Did everybody fall asleep at the chapter 4? Why? He's an evangelist, isn't he? He 500,000 people got saved. Okay. Alright. Did everybody hear that? Okay. Any other time, many talk loud, but he choose to be quiet, gentle. He, out loud. Now he is going to be shy. Jonah? Yes. Teachable moment. Yes. Alright. This is how I did the outlining. And you guys have in your outline note. First one I see in chapter 1 through 7. God's patience with Jonah. That's the title. And first 1 through 3. Jonah's disobedience. And 4 through 10. Jonah's indifference. When God says go to northeast. He said, I'm going to west. And Jonah's stubbornness in 11 through 17. He rather die than to what God says. You with me so far?
Yes.
All right, second chapter, God's mercy toward Jonah. He could have just let him die, right? But he provided a submarine. God hears Jonah's prayer, verse 1 and 2. Discipline Jonah in verse 3. Verse 4 and 5, 7, through 7. Honors Jonah's faith. And 8 and 9, accepted Jonah's confession. In verse 10, he restores Jonah's ministry. He get puked out. And he had to travel several hundred miles, at least 300 miles, to Nineveh. Alright, chapter 3. God's power through Jonah. Gracious God, in verse 1 and 2. Obedient servant, for change, Jonah is obedient. I don't think he had a whole lot of choice. 3 and 4. 5 and 9, 5 through 9, repentant people. In verse 10, postpone the judgment. We're going to talk about this word. Horrible, horrible, horrible English word, relented. Yeah. God never relent. And some silly Bible version, I saw one of them, I forgot which one, it said God repented. Are you serious? What's the definition of a repent? From sin, right? How can God repent when he never sinned? Are you out of your mind? Chapter 4, God's ministry, Jonah. Verse 1 through 4, God hears him. 5 through 8, he comforts him. 9 through 11, God teaches him, telling him, you are not in control. I am. I'm the sovereign God. Pretty much. Okay? So we did the 5 W's and 1 H. Outlined. Now, what's the next step? Observation. And then what? Interpretation. All right. Remember last Thursday, I taught you guys about the interpretation. Observation and interpretation should be strictly what? Next slide, please. Thank you. Objective, not subjective. What does it mean? Don't try to make this thing to yourself. It should be just plain and simple. You know what they say, they're just facts, ma'am, right? You can relate with another scripture, but don't try to make it into you. Once you try to make it into you, that becomes application. You with me? So the more you study the Bible, the better your interpretation will be. Why? Because you will know the other books where they relate to each other. First step, I told you this. What was the content? Find the purpose or the main point of the text. Another thing that we need to look for is to study the passage in its what? Remember I told you, if you take the scripture out of context, it become what? Good. Good job, counselor. Third, compare the passage with other scriptures. That's when the treasury of scripture knowledge comes in handy. With this in mind, chapter 1, verse 1, we will read. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid a fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Question. What do you see here? Okay, but I want you to stay with the verse 1. Just stay with the verse 1. What do you see? Read it again. Okay. And then what else? Okay. Many said, right? The son of Amittai showed lineage assuring its connect with another portion of the Bible. Arise. God, yeah, what you guys said, right, but you sometimes you miss because it's, we tend to, in America, we tend to ignore the lineage, especially in the Bible, don't we? Because they are boring. Don't look at me like you never thought the lineage in the Bible is boring. Their forefather was this, he was the son of Amittai from Gath-Heth and tribe of Zebulun. One of, as I mentioned, Zebulun is one of the 12 tribes, and he is the sixth and the last son of between the father Jacob and mother Leah. He was the last one. He has many half brothers. All right, verse two. Let's stick with the, just stay in the verse two. God's command, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, and their wickedness has come up before me. God says, go to Nineveh and preach against it. Correct? Okay. That's simple enough, don't you think? What do you get out of this? Why did God told Jonah to preach against it? Huh? Say it again. Wickedness. Okay, good. Wickedness. Another question. You need to change the slide, brother. One more. Okay, one more. Thank you. What do you, or what does the scriptures mean that when it says, therefore their wickedness come up before me? How does the Lord know about the people's wickedness? He knows it all. He knows everything. Okay. Okay. Does God know everything? Okay. Is there anything that is hidden? But when, if a person do wicked things, does God judge that person immediately? Okay, for example, people of Canaan were wicked. God pulled the family of Jacob out of the Canaan, kept them in Egypt for how long? 40 years. Going, do I hear 60? Do I hear 100? Come on. Raise your stake. Jacob. Yeah, Jacob and Joseph and whole span. How many years in the Egypt before they made the Exodus? 400 years. 400 years, God gave 400 years to the land, people of the land of Canaan to repent. Is that good enough time for them? Yeah. Minimum of 12 generations. Their time when God said enough is enough. God is calling out to these people to repent. Verse 3. Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What did Jonah do? Change the slide, please. What did he do? Okay. He ditched God by running away. Okay, Joppa, this is something probably you cannot find a whole lot. I take it back. Joppa. You find it in New Testament. Where do you find it? No. Joppa, where do you find it in the, which book of the New Testament? Book of Acts. Who was there? Peter. Okay. Peter was staying in Joppa in the man's home, the known as Tanner. Simon the Tanner. What does he mean, Tanner? What is his occupation? Yes. He is dealing with a dead carcass. What is a good old Jewish boy doing with a carcass? Right? If he hang around with a carcass, then he's supposed to go into the temple and do a lot of repenting, all that, cleansing, all that stuff, right? But he didn't have a problem staying with Simon the Tanner. Why? Because he realized that Jesus was the final offering, final sacrifice. He doesn't have to do any of those things. Yeah. That's the same Joppa. Yes, sir. Yeah. Greek word or Hebrew word? Greek word or Hebrew word? Hebrew. Hebrew. Okay. I thought you were talking with Septuagint. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. He didn't pray in the ship. Yep. Okay. Good. Thank you. All right. Back to Joppa. It's a coastal city of Israel. Would you put up the picture? That I took, stood at the supposedly Simon the Tanner's home. There is a gift shop where you can buy the souvenirs, of course. And I was looking at the Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is it's like a Silicon Valley of the United States. Actually, they have more brains out there in the Tel Aviv than in the entire Silicon Valley. A lot of brilliant people. All right. If you have a map on the back of your Bible, that's why I said you need a Bible with a map. If you don't have a Bible without map, you cannot find these things. You might be able to find Nineveh in the middle of, would you put the map, please? Thank you. Good job. I'll do this from now on. There's a Joppa on the coastal city. It takes 550 miles northeast direction to get to Nineveh. When he was told to go to Nineveh, what did he do? He skipped the town. Mad dash toward the Tarshish, 2,500 miles by boat. He thought he was going on cruising. Right? Okay. Can you tell me why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh? Which some of you guys talked about it last time. Out loud. He didn't like them. Why? Because he didn't like the way they part their hair. They are enemy of Israel. And? They are particularly cruel. Where can you find that they are the enemy of Israel? I listed three scripture addresses. 1 Chronicles 5:26, 2 Kings 17:55-6, and 2 Chronicles 32:22. David invaded, Israel has been invaded by the Assyria. Yeah. And whenever they came, they slaughtered the people. And one portion says they even cut open the pregnant women. Talk about cruelty. And another thing that according to the history books, they did not kill the prisoners, but they cut their arms and legs and then burned the wound. So the person is alive, not bleeding to death, but they cannot do anything. And wild animals will come alive. That kind of cruelty. No wonder Jonah would hate them. Somehow Jonah thought he could escape from the presence of God. So that's why he jumped into the ship and took off. Okay. You guys know King David's psalm. One of his psalms said, "Where can I go away from your presence?" What psalm would that be? 139, right? Psalm 139, let's go there. Psalm 139, chapter 139, verse 7. What? Oh. 139, verse 7. It reads, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, and the night shine as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to you." In other words, you can run, but you cannot hide. Back to verse 3 again, please. Jonah went to Joppa, found a ship to Tarshish. What can we get from this portion of the scripture? So how would you interpret this particular portion of the verse, and what can we learn from it? He went down, found the ship, he got on. He bought the ticket, paid the fare, got on it. And you're thinking, what are you looking for? Right? Come on, think. Can I give you a hint? I don't know if this kind of thing ever happened to you,
Oh my goodness, it's already this time. We are behind. No, not yet. Back up. Thank you. If everything goes well, you are in God's will. Correct? If everything goes wrong, you are out of God's will. Correct? Okay, if everything goes wrong and you are out of God's will, if that's the case, Prophet Jeremiah is out of God's will all the time. Am I correct? But he never been out of God's will. He did everything with the humiliation and the difficulty. He stuck by God. Jeremiah would be the opposite of Jonah. Let me make you another example. Did God, Jesus, tell his disciple, get in the boat, we will cross the sea to the other side. Storm came along. Where is Jesus? With them. And they were going through, they thought that they're gonna die. Were they out of God's will? Were they doing the things God told them not to do? They did everything exactly what Jesus told them to do. They were with Jesus even more. But they go through a difficult time. So, if everything goes well for you, if that's the theology, shallow theology, and if that's the case, Jonah is doing everything right in the sight of God because he went down to Joppa, he found the ship to Tarshish, he got paid the fare, he got the ticket, he got on the boat without any problem. Am I making sense to you? When Bible says certain things, pay attention. You don't need to look behind every door, but there's things that you need to notice. Okay. We can put up this. Purely depending on the sign of circumstance to find that the will of God can be extremely dangerous. Would you agree? Don't look for the signs. I heard the story of the lady who was not so sure whether she should go to the Holy Land trip or not to Israel. So she been asking God, should I go or should I not go? She woke up in the morning. Her alarm clock said 7:47. 7 o'clock 47 minutes. So she said, okay, I'm gonna go because I'm gonna be on the 7:47. God. That's a bad theology, folks. No matter what kinds of situation occur, the Word of God is our guide. And we must not depart from it under the pretext of a necessity or circumstance. We can easily justify the circumstance around us to favor what we have decided, but our God's word does not change. If you've been in the Lord for some time, remember the guy, Balaam. Remember him? Numbers chapter 22, the guy who had a conversation with donkey. It's one thing to talk to donkey, but it's listen to from the donkey. Yeah, and that's really bad. He was offered a lot of money from the king, Balak, the king of Moab. The request was, go curse the Israelis, because God listened to you, he might curse the Israelis. Since Balaam was nagging at God, God said, okay, go. And he went. And God was about to kill him. Okay, let me ask this. Does just because the things look like a green light doesn't mean is it go? Be careful. God's word never go against its meaning. As I said, don't try to take the word of God out of context, bend it to you the way you want it. Back to verse 3. I don't think we're going to finish this. You don't mind staying here until 9:30, do you?
No.
Verse 3. Then Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, and he went down into it. And you're thinking, for crying out loud, you read up about 5 times now. I know. Do you remember what I told you to pay attention about the repeating word when you do the observation? Alright, here. Why do we need to pay attention? Because God never wastes a word in His Bible.
What do you, what, which word do you see that repeated here? Huh? Just verse 3. Just verse 3. Just verse 3. Okay, Tashish. Twice. What else? I cannot hear you. You're mumbling something. Huh? Okay, in verse 3. Okay. Alright, what else? Repeat, repeating word. Down. Twice, right? Okay. When we run away from God and going against God, what do I get? What I see here is he went down and down. Whenever we run away from God or going against the word of God, we go down. We don't go up. And not only that, he had to pay for the fare. To commit the sin, he, using his own expense, and still going down. Okay, let me give you another example. Opposite example. The Apostle Paul. He had a desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. The opportunity came to him. The center of the Gentile world, Rome. All expense paid trip to the emperor himself. Okay, he was a prisoner. That's a different story. But he still went there, all expense paid. He didn't have to do anything. But in this case, Jonah, he had to pay his own money and going down and down. Are you with me? You need to catch that kind of thing. When there's a repeating word, Tashish, Tashish, and away from the presence, and down and down. Okay, we'll stop here.